Hi, this is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Thank you for joining me today as we're going to talk about how you can make your life better by the choices that you make in your life. And today we're talking about associate for success, choosing your friends rather than just acquiring them. Mark Twain, the American humorist and writer, once said, "Keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that, but the really great make you feel that you too can become great." And that's so true. Who are your friends? Who are your associates? Who do you spend the most time with? You know, we don't always pick our friends. We somehow just kind of acquire them. And so think about it. Did you acquire them through work or school or associations? And are they positive or are they negative? In many instances, negative people somehow infiltrate themselves into our lives. Maybe not intentionally on our part, that we don't intentionally hang around with negative people, but negativity seems to be rampant out there. And so many times people just complain and carry on. And it is really important that you and I learn to associate with positive people. You see, what happens is we learn our behaviors and our habits and our mannerisms, even our speech patterns, our verbiage, and our manners from the people with whom we spend the most time. We pick up habits and ideas from the people that we hang out with. People who succeed actually put themselves in the company of other people who are striving to succeed. People who fail often hang around with people who have no goals and no ambitions. So if we're going to be successful, we want to take a look at who are we hanging out with. Do they have goals? Do they have ambitions? Are they people who take action? Do they get up and make it happen? Or do they just sit around and wish that something would happen in their lives? Success breeds success. If you associate with successful people, you will learn from them, and you will be more likely to become successful too. Successful people often present opportunities to people they know. The people with whom you associate should be the people that you can learn from, the people that are interesting, and people who have a positive outlook toward life. You should also be able to contribute something of value to their lives. Make a list of the people with whom you usually associate. And then beside their name, write down their most outstanding characteristic. Now, that characteristic can be negative or positive, but write down what's most outstanding about that person. And then look at the list and look at who would you like to emulate? Who would you like to be like? Who's interesting? Who's negative? Who badmouths other people? Who complains a lot? Who makes things happen? Which of your friends or associates are just getting by, and which ones are getting ahead? If you find there are negative people on your list, don't worry. I don't want you to go right out and dump all your friends. But I want you to think in terms of acquiring new friends and new acquaintances who are positive and who are headed where you want to go. When I wanted to become a speaker, I joined the National Speakers Association in order to associate with top-notch speakers and learn from them. And it worked. I had a speaking career in hardly any time at all. Later, I decided I wanted to write books as well. So I attended a writer's conference. And guess what happened at the writer's conference? A publisher picked up my idea and published my book. And then I joined a local writer's group. You see, people in these groups that have similar interests to you have commonalities with you, or at least with your goals and your dreams and your ideals, and they know ways to be successful, and they can help you be successful, and they do it through friendship. You're not just trying to use people. You're trying to associate with the right people, so you're in the right place at the right time. I'm sure you've heard that phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, I believe it's both. I believe who you know can get you where you want to go, but what you know keeps you there. And And even more so, who knows you? Or at least, who knows who you are? Some of the most competent people I know have not made the effort to know people or be known by people who can help them get ahead. So their talents and abilities continue to get overlooked. If you want power and influence, if you want to be successful, then associate with powerful, influential, successful people and learn everything you can from them. In his book, Megatrends, John Nesbitt reports that by networking, we can reach anyone in the world with only 6 person-by-person interactions. Networking is when we deliberately and consciously seek to make associations with people. In other words, we don't leave it up to chance. In every association, there are leaders, people who have power and influence. Find out what groups they are and what groups these people get involved in and attend the group meetings. And then get acquainted with these people. Make sure to sit at their tables at the events. Introduce yourself or get someone else to introduce you. Volunteer to be on their committee or their task force. The people you know can open doors and speed up your success. Make meeting new people a top priority and keep in touch with them regularly. You may want to choose a person who has achieved the same goals that you would like to accomplish and ask that person to be your mentor. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Many times people are flattered if you point out that you are asking them because they are experts in their field and you would like to learn from them. Offer to assist them with a project or something they are doing. If you make it a habit to help others toward their goals, they usually are willing to help you as well. In The Secrets of Savvy Networking, the author, Susan Rowan, defines networking as a reciprocal process, an exchange of ideas, leads, and suggestions that support both our professional and our personal lives. So get out there and network. Very, very important. This is Judy Mario. You are listening to Choices. On this show, we talk about the choices that you can make every day to be more successful in your life. And what is success anyway? It's whatever makes you happy. That's what we want, is to make you happy. Speaking of making you happy, let me know what it is that you want me to talk about. Because, listeners, the thing is, I want to talk about what you want to hear. And you can just contact me at judymorio.com. That's JudiMorio.com. JudyMorio.com. Send me an email, judy@judymorio.com. And let me know what kinds of things you want me to talk about and what you want to hear about. Another of the ways that we can associate with people who are positive and people who are successful in order to become positive and successful ourselves is to get involved in the community. Join groups that community leaders participate in, like, let's say, your local Chamber of Commerce, Soroptimist International, Rotary International, or even Toastmasters International. These are all good organizations to join. When I moved to South Africa a few years ago, I didn't know anybody. And so the first thing I did was join 3 Toastmasters International groups. And it was so wonderful because you get involved with people who are trying to be more positive, who are trying to better themselves. And they come from all walks of life and get involved in this wonderful group called Toastmasters International. It's an organization to learn how to speak, but we all need to learn how to speak at events or when we go places. But also, it's a leadership organization. It's a place where you learn to be a leader. And you want to get there and get involved quickly with any of these organizations. Get yourself involved really quickly. Volunteer to be on a committee or assist with registration. That's the very best way that you can meet people. So you want to get to these functions and meet people. Introduce yourself to everyone as they come in because it's your job to welcome them to the meeting. Volunteer to be a greeter and just stand there at the door. It's your responsibility to make other people feel comfortable when you're a greeter, and it keeps you from thinking about yourself and how uncomfortable you are when you meet new people. After you've done it a few times, you won't be uncomfortable anymore, and you'll know everyone who attends the meeting regularly. When you are attending a meeting, be sure to sit at a table with people you don't know. Doing that will afford you the opportunity to introduce yourself. If we keep going back and sitting with people we know, meeting after meeting, we won't meet the new people. We won't network. We won't learn anything. So go there and sit with different people. The people that you know, you can sit with them on a different day. One of the main benefits to belonging to and attending to an organization and attending their meetings is that you are making contacts. And you won't make contacts if you go with your friend and the two of you are like connected by Velcro. We always call those people the Velcro twins, because you're so busy talking to each other that others won't speak to you for fear of interrupting you. You won't make contacts if you don't introduce yourself to other people and start conversations. If you introduce yourself to enough people, you will surely make some new, positive, interesting friends in your field or even in other fields of business and acquire some good business contacts as well. Now, before you go to any meeting or any event, put some pre-planning and preparation into it. Put some thought into why you are going there. Why are you attending this event? What is your primary goal and what do you hope to achieve? Would you like to make new contacts? If so, who and why? Do you plan on learning new information? Who might have that information? Are you trying to increase business? Will there be potential clients at this event? Are you trying to build your self-confidence as you meet new people? Or are you just going there to have fun? Ask yourself these questions and then write out a statement of intent before going to the meeting or the event. Include in this statement why you are going and what you intend to accomplish by going there. Your statement might read like this. By attending this event, I will introduce myself to a powerful and dynamic group of people who have the resources to use my product and my services. It is my objective to hand out 25 business cards and return to my office with at least 3 qualified leads, as well as a definite commitment to telephone appointments with 2 people. I will do this in a manner that makes people want to see me and talk with me again. That manner is by showing an interest in them. When you have a definite goal in mind, you will be better able to seek out those individuals that you'd like to meet and ask the questions you'd like to ask. Because you are prepared, you will be amazed at the difference in what you will accomplish. Why would you spend all that time and money to go to an event unprepared and end up coming away without any benefits? And think about what you're going to wear. Very, very important what you wear to meetings, because you want to have the appropriate attire with the group that you're going to be associating with. Then add an extra to be sure that people remember you. My good friend Patricia Fripp, who's one of America's most exciting professional speakers, says, there's no sense in going anywhere if people don't remember you've been there. Think about that. There's no sense in going anywhere if people don't remember you've been there. So try being memorable by your appearance and also by your good conduct, by the way you behave, by the way you make them feel. You want to also make a point that with anybody you meet, you make them feel important. You know, it's very, very important to be on time to meetings, and it's such a simple concept that it's hard to imagine why so many people have difficulty getting where they said they would be at the time they said they would be there. With the pace of our lives today, time is of the essence. Having to wait on another person is frustrating and it's aggravating. Arriving late is rude. Habitually arriving late is downright disrespectful. If you want to be seen as a professional, it is imperative that you learn to be on time. Busy people don't have much tolerance for needless waiting. When you make an appointment with someone, actually make a note on your calendar what time you need to leave your office or your previous appointment in order to get there. Allow enough time for traffic delays or detours. determine what time you need to leave, and then leave at that time. Don't take one more phone call. Don't do one more task. And don't stop to chat with one more person. Invariably, those things will make you late. And being late is a broken commitment. Did you get that? Being late is a broken commitment. You don't want to be perceived as a person who breaks commitments. This could absolutely ruin your reputation. A friend of mine used to make it a habit to be late to all events. She said if she was late, she could make a grand entrance and everyone would notice her. Well, they noticed all right, but I don't believe anyone thought her fashionably late entrance was positive. In fact, in many cases, it was disruptive. She wanted to be the center of attention, but she didn't realize she was creating negative attention. It is always in good taste to be on time. In fact, if you're not early, you're late. Getting to an event early gives you more time to meet new people, observe the room, and decide where you are going to sit. If you are early, you get a choice of seats. If you are late, you get stuck sitting wherever there is an empty chair, and it may not be at a table with anyone you desire to meet. If you are often kept waiting by a family member, friend, or business associate, speak to that person about it. If you don't confront this issue of lateness, that person will continue to be late, and you will become frustrated and aggravated by her behavior, and you will resent the lack of consideration for your time. You can also schedule the meeting with the habitually late person 15 minutes to a half hour earlier than you really want or need her to arrive. That'll get them there on time. But it usually doesn't work for too long because after a couple of times they catch on that you told them to be there earlier than they needed to be. So just explain to your habitually late colleague that you will be leaving at a certain time, and if he or she is not ready to go at that time, you will have to leave. And they'll have to find another way or another alternative for getting there. And after you leave that latecomer a couple of times, she'll get the message, and she'll understand that you mean what you say and that you're not going to allow anyone to make you late. That's very, very important. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices on Blog Talk Radio, Choices with Judy Mario. Thank you for listening. Today we are talking about associating for success because we want to be successful ourselves. And if we're going to be successful, we don't want to hang around with people who are lazy and not positive and don't make a point to go ahead and do things. So let's talk about self-introductions. Self-introductions are easier than most people think. You can tell the other person your name and something about yourself that establishes a commonality with that person. You will introduce yourself in different ways, depending upon the event and the person you are meeting. Think about where you are. What do you have in common with another person that would bring you both to the same meeting or the same event? Basically, we are introducing ourselves to let the other person know who we are and give that other person an experience of us. We want to make the experience a pleasant one. So look at the other person, offer your hand if you can do so easily, and speak clearly. Make a brief comment or two about yourself. You might disclose something positive about yourself or something good that has happened in your life recently. You can add a branding line if you like. A branding line is a short description that tells people who you are and what you do. Some people call it an elevator speech. I call it a branding line. It establishes your niche and your area of expertise. You might tell your company name and what you do there. Your introduction should take no more than 10 seconds. Ask questions about the other person. If you make them feel important, I just hate it when I meet someone and they look at me for just a second and say, yes, it's nice to meet you. And the whole time they start looking around at other people while they're still even shaking my hand, looking for somebody else that they can go talk to. And in that case, I just say, excuse me, if they're being rude and not paying attention, excuse me. And I just move on to the next person. And you want to be sure to take plenty of business cards with you when you go to any kind of an event or a meeting where you're going to be meeting new people. Because your business card is the way that you hand people a way to contact you. And it gives them a way to remember your name, because most people aren't able really to remember names as well as it would be good if they did. And the reason I feel that we don't remember names is because we don't really hear them in the first place. So many times when we meet people, we'll meet two or three people at a time. So when you are introduced to someone and you hear their name, repeat their name back to them and then use their name three or four times in the next few minutes. And that way you'll find that you'll remember it more easily. But also get their business card, because the business card does help you to remember the person. And your business card should be designed to introduce you in a legitimate way, giving the person to whom you are introduced a way to remember you and a method by which to contact you. Have your cards accessible so that you can have an easy exchange of cards. Nothing interrupts a conversation more than someone digging through their pockets, wallets, or handbags, trying to sort out where the cards might be located. Always be sure to have a separate place for your own cards so they don't get mixed in with the ones that you received. So keep your own cards in a separate place, someplace easy, like in the pocket of your jacket or in a little pocket on the side of your handbag, so that you can just grab those real quick and not be scratching around looking for a card. Always have cards. And the other thing I think is very, very important is to put the remainder of the box of business cards in your car, because I can't tell you how many people have said to me, oh, you know, I dashed out of the office so quickly, I didn't grab any cards. Well, if you have the remainder of the box in your car and you dash out quickly, you can get some cards out of your car. Or if you run out in a meeting, you can excuse yourself, run out to the car, and get some more cards. Make sure that you have those cards with you whenever you go anywhere where you're going to meet new people. Very, very important. And when you hand a business card to another person, be sure the card is face up and turned toward the other person for easy reading. If he or she doesn't offer you a card, ask for it. And as soon as possible, without being conspicuous, make a note on the back of the card that reminds you who the person is and where you met that person, maybe the name of the event or what you talked about, so that you can follow up with that person and you don't forget who they are. You know, one of the best tips I ever got was that when you bring your clothes home from the dry cleaners, just go ahead and slip a couple of cards in each of the pockets of the clothes in your closet. If you put a few cards in your wallet and in each of your handbags and in the pockets of your clothes and even your evening bags, be sure to include a couple of your cards in your evening bags, then your cards will be accessible at all times. You won't be going off and forgetting your cards. And make handing out business cards a habit. Give out a minimum of 25 cards a day, and you'll see that before long, you're going to have more business than you can possibly handle. Now, after the event, be sure to follow up right away by sending a note stating that it was a pleasure to meet the person and refer to something that you spoke about. Refer to something that will make the person remember you, remember who you are. And don't solicit any business in this note. Don't go sticking a brochure in or sales information. This is simply a note that's short and kind, that reminds the person who you are and of your meeting. That's going to stand out. That's going to make people remember you, because most people don't receive handwritten notes anymore. And so you want to send a little note that says it was really nice to meet them. Then, later on, from time to time, you can send the person something of interest in the mail. You can send them a brochure, or you can send them an article on a subject about which you spoke, along with your card. And that shows that you paid attention to their interest. If you read something in the newspaper about that person, cut it out along with the name of the newspaper, the date, the page number, and send them a copy. Everyone appreciates having an extra copy of an article about themselves. Very often, they won't have seen it. They won't even have it, and now you sent it. What a thoughtful person you are. And that makes you stand out from other people. Don't let a lot of time lapse without keeping in contact. Once you meet the person, contact them again right away with that nice, kind note that says it was a pleasure to meet you. What's the sense in meeting a person if you take so long to contact them again that they don't even remember who you are? That's so important. And be sure to let people know when you are looking for something, what you are looking for, and if you need any assistance. Do it in a way that allows them to respond comfortably. When people help you out, let them know the progress and the outcome of their efforts. Be sure to thank them for any help in a timely and appropriate manner. And always reciprocate as soon as possible. I like it when I do something for someone, they'll ask me if I can introduce them to somebody or somehow I can make a contact for them, for them to come back and let me know how that went. Yes, they met the person. Yes, they made the contact. It is so important to follow up. Now, another very important thing that you should be prepared to do whenever you're at a meeting is to make small talk. You have to start a conversation with someone who was, until now, a total stranger. And if you are prepared, you won't be caught speechless, or just the opposite. You won't be monopolizing the conversation, talking about yourself. Either of those things leaves you both feeling uncomfortable. Have at least three subjects you could talk about with anyone you meet. These could be current events, sports, or local happenings. Being prepared is so very important because this enables you to have a pleasant exchange and make others feel more comfortable. You can always comment on the place where the event is happening, the food, or the organization putting on the event, or you can ask a question about the guest of honor, the speaker, or the event itself. Whatever you do, don't make negative comments about anyone or anything, not even the traffic, the parking, or the weather. You don't want to be seen as negative or someone who finds fault. Be careful not to spend the entire time at the event talking to only one person, or you will not fulfill your purpose in networking. It is appropriate to spend no more than 10 minutes talking to any one person. The idea is to circulate and meet as many people as possible. Although it is much easier to latch on to one person for the entire event, it is not nearly as productive. Many of us stay in a conversation because we don't know how to end it. If you're the one speaking, just continue on with, "It has been terrific meeting you and talking with you. I look forward to our next meeting," and move quickly to another part of the room. If someone else latches on to you, politely excuse yourself. Say something like, "Excuse me, I see someone I've been hoping to catch up with. I've enjoyed talking with you," and then just move on. Or if the conversation was less than stimulating, maybe even downright annoying, say something more along the lines of, "It's been interesting talking with you," and then move on. Well, you're not lying when you say it was interesting, because it was an interesting encounter. You don't want to do it again, but it was interesting. You want to speak to another person right away, though, if you move on, because you don't want that person to see that you just left them there and you didn't have anyone else to speak to. So whenever you say, "It's been interesting talking with you," and you move on, speak to another person right away. Knowing how to end a conversation is as important as knowing how to begin one. So do it gracefully. Do it gracefully. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Thank you for joining me today. We were brought to you by Turning Point International in Las Vegas, Nevada. And at Turning Point, we offer self-help products, including books, personal development programs, CDs, and personal coaching and mentoring for writers and for people who want to be public speakers. You can contact me, Judy Mario, at judy@judymario.com. That's JUDIMOREO.com. JUDIMOREO.com. And remember, you are more than enough.